And now we're going to go on a little short trip to Ephesians. So if you could, say, Father, I thank you. We sang a song today. Open my eyes. Open my ears. Open my understanding. I want to grow. Not groan. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I believe this scripture is going to confirm your word.
Are you looking at me?
Yes, you. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, and be patient with, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is only one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Grace has been given as I demand. Is that part of the word? Why would the Anointed One give us a certain recipe and a certain amount of grace, as he would see fit? I think sometimes we have expectations that maybe this one got a little too much and the other one didn't get enough. And this word is really saying, who's in charge? Not me. Sometimes, you know, we'd like to see someone awaken to the truth. And we'd like to adjust their reactions. And verse 4 says, there's only one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. And the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And I stressed as Christ apportioned it. I got a phone call this week. And this person was quite excited. And I found after I got off the phone that my brain got involved. Of course, you guys probably never do that, but I did. My brain got involved because of the comments that were made. And I even went just a little bit to speak, and all of a sudden there was a check. What are you doing? So I confirm the word. Sometimes we are about to open our mouth and just about to put the foot in, and you have a check in your spirit and you know that it's the Lord. And fortunately, I was able to shut up. But it took a while to shut the thoughts down. Because the thoughts were in progress. The thoughts wanted to rule. And I said, Lord, if and when you're supposed to dump some grace into that one to get them to change, I'm going to leave you in charge. Because I really would have liked to adjust and fine-tune somebody. But he didn't give me a screwdriver. He didn't give me the pliers. He just said, let me do the work all by myself. But I would have liked to see it completed yesterday. Okay? Because I was about to watch someone else get damaged, and I have a tendency to help the Lord. None of you would ever know that. But I don't want anybody hurt. So obviously, I would act and react to try to prevent it. But that's a great excuse for the spirit of control to come in and manipulate so that nobody's going to get hurt. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. As Christ apportioned it. Why is it important to take that into consideration so that we don't flow with the natural that's so sweet and comfortable? See, we all have been taught to be accountable to what we've been given. As I was growing up, there was always that sense of protection for those that were weak and broken because I didn't want them suffering. So I tried to help out. And I was complimented for helping out. It was a good thing. Which tree was I serving? Was it the tree of life or the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Yeah. And everyone that lives under the law is also under that tree. Genesis is clear. When Adam and Eve decided to do their own thing, they were thinking that they were doing something righteous. So they got in trouble. And so the pattern has been set. The tree of life is Christ, our Savior. And when I go, and I go according to what he apportioned the grace for that person to have, and Kim gets out of the way so that they can fall flat on their face, and just walk away and let it happen, that's hard.
Amen.
All right? Now, why am I stressing that? It's because they might need to fall before they ever get salvation into their thinking or their mind. I had to fall before I could wake up to the fact that I needed a Savior. There is no other Savior except who? Yeah, Jesus gave me a word this morning. You can't save them, but you can save yourself. Jesus is the Savior, the only one. The only one. I could take you to the book of Acts and I could read to you St. Paul, Peter's comments about there's only one Savior. And we want to save the other people. We want to save them from their own selves. And the only one that's going to really do a number is the Lord. The only one that's going to put the grave under your feet is Jesus. Okay. I am to remind you that Lazarus lay dying, and he was hurting and in deep distress. And your direction is not to look at what is in the process of death, so that resurrection may take over. It was ordained for him to die and go into the grave. And then my presence and voice brought new life. Trust me and do not focus on what needs to die, but remember I am the resurrection. How he did not remain dead, but he rose, and so will you. How hard was it for Jesus to calm down the excited disciples? Let's go pull this one out of sickness. Were they on the same tree that he was? Was he bowing to the knowledge of good and to the knowledge of evil? Yeah, you see it clearly. He was the tree of life. He waited and he said, Father, I know he's going to die. And I know the girls are going to be mad at me. Well, come on. Yes? How many have known when you just don't do what they want, they will get mad at you? Could be girls, could be boys.
Amen.
They will be angry. Why?
They want their own way,
they want to save the person, and they want you to go out and save them. Just reflect for a moment. Reflect on what God is really trying to let us know. When he decided to release grace to the saints, he had a recipe that was just right from Papa. And some need to fall. He had to let Peter fall flat on his face in order for Peter to really break down and say, oh my God, what have I done? His purpose may have a great attitude, a great idea. Your purpose might have a great attitude and a great idea. Is it God? How deep does he have to dig inside of us to get us to see that the person who is walk isn't quite where we would like them to be? Is it ordained of God that they should keep falling for a while? Yeah! Look at your neighbor. Say, it is okay. If they're allowed to fall. Right down to the bottom. So that they can cry out to the only Savior that will be there for eternity. His name is Jesus, not me. Yeah. See, I'm not the Savior, but I'd like to help. How many can feel that on the inside? How many can, because we need to know we are not the saviors. Yet the religious realm says we are. It says go out and preach the good news, and I'm not against it. But if you're going to preach in order to dictate, you're going to turn them off. And they'll get mad at you and get mad at God because you know what? They can't stand religion. Because religion demands obedience. And it brings guilt and condemnation and fear. And I'll tell you, the kids today are sick of it.
Amen.
They don't want to hear it because they've had it up to here. And I heard yesterday somebody say, oh, but we were taught and we were forced and I'm so grateful. It was for them. I mean that. It was for them. I don't believe that that statement is true today. If you force the children too much, they're going to rebel and they're going to say, tough cookies, I don't want any part of it. You want to go? You go. And I'm not talking about little tiny ones. I'm talking about there's a level. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. To each of us, the grace that we have received has been for today. Your child, your grandchild, your friend, your parents, your mate, they may not be needing to be where you are.
their commission could be totally different. I was sharing with someone this week. There was a testimony on about a young man, this was quite a few years ago, who confessed that he was a pot smoker. And of course, religious people don't care for people who are high on dope. But when it was a nice day, he would take his drugs, sit in the sun with his Bible, and study the Word. And he would do this when he was high, because the pain in his body and the pain in his mind were so deep that he would get high in order to read the Word. Now, that's not too religious.
I know.
But at one point, there was a couple of sentences that impacted his heart. And something broke inside and he began to weep. And it was the first time that he realized, oh my God, look, I know now that he loves me. And when he realized that the Lord loved him, he asked for help. And he said, Lord, you know, I really would like to read your Word without getting high tomorrow. The request came from him. The grace had been given by Papa. And the boy began to say, oh my God, the next morning, I don't have a hangover. I don't have a need to go get high. Because you know what? I'm high already. And he opened his Bible for the first time and it became alive. Without somebody's help.
Amen.
I'm not saying his parents didn't pray for him. I don't know that part. But I know what he said. It was a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit drawing him. And he became a great evangelist. And he's not the only one. You know, you brought that little nip in this morning. And there was a point in my life that my dad was driving around with a full case of booze in the trunk. That was his only way of surviving each day. And obviously, drive around drunk quite often. And I even went to the police station and asked him to please arrest him. And of course, they said, until he does something wrong, we can't do that. But I wanted to prevent anyone from getting hurt. I had no trust in God's angels because I didn't know about them. I might have heard about it, but it was somebody else's opinion. It wasn't my revelation. And to make a long story short, after trying and trying, going to the insurance company, going to all the people that I knew, trying to bring some control on this situation, which was way out of control, the Lord finally said to me, will you thank me for the booze? And oh my, that was not on my radar at all. Be grateful for his booze? I mean, my brain went tilt. But the Lord wanted me to give up my control. So I finally tried to say that prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you. It's based on 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, 17, and 18. My God's plan for me is to give praise in all circumstances. And that includes the booze that he was, you know, drinking constantly, etc. And for several weeks, I would pray that prayer, and I would tell the Lord, I don't mean it, because it doesn't make sense to my brain to thank you for this alcohol that he's wasting his body on. And finally, when I had ears to hear, and the grace came from who?
Him.
I heard in my heart, if it wasn't for that booze, he would have committed suicide a long time ago, and he would have never bowed his knee to me. My father was born again at that point. The booze kept him alive. The kid on dope kept him to read the word and to be impacted. What's your plan for the one that's broken in your life? Chuck it. Get rid of your plan. Close your eyes right now. Say, Holy Spirit, you really don't need my help. You've got a plan to put grace in those that you have already prepared. And you're working on the case. And every time I put my finger in the pie, I make a mess. So help me to trust you, to heal the ones that need healing. No matter how deep or dark that they may have to go, your grace is sufficient to take them where they need to be. And you will continue to pour out grace as Christ apportioned it. Not as I would demand it. I give you praise for their difficult space, because it may be the answer to my prayer. In Jesus' name, I pray. As Christ apportioned. If we knew what it took to get us saved and how much of a challenge we would have to go through, would we be ready to submit to it today and go through it again all over? I don't think some of us would want to go through it again. Once is enough, isn't it?
Amen.
Just that reasoning alone is enough to manipulate someone. You'd like to save them the pain. And it sounds good, but it's not God. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Father, I release peace now.
Father, I release peace
to my inner man.
So that your plan will unfold for those
that I hold in my heart.
And throughout the nations,
there's an avalanche of grace
ready for them,
as I trust,
your plan,
in Jesus' name.
Amen.